We begin the current daf Masechet daf Lamed Aleph. We begin 9 lines down from the top of the Yomim, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, which will later on in this daf come back in relation to the Mishnah that was discussed in the previous daf. And that is, we had a machlokes between Abaye and Rava regarding a bachoyv, a creditor that's collecting collateral that was regarding the loan that he had given his owed money. And the person said, if I don't pay by this amount of time, you'll be able to collect from this property. So the question was, when is it that the transaction of that property that's being collected now, because the person defaulted on the loan or what was owed to the creditor, is that retroactively from when the loan was given? Or is it what's called mikan labo? It's only from here on that actually the transaction is now when he defaults in it. Abaye said that it's mikan, that it's la mafreya, that it we see it retroactively that when he gave the money, which was later he defaulted on, now he's collecting property. That means from when he gave the money, that was actually when it was in his possession. And henceforth, we had Abaye's opinion discussed on the top of this Amud, which was discussed in the previous staff, that if the malva, the lender, if he was makdish or if he sold it in that interim period, it would be a good sale and a good hekdish because he had given it in that time. Whereas according to Rav, it's mikan labo. It's only from here on, and that's why if he had in the interim sold it or been makdish, it's not worth anything because the buyer could, the person that owes him the money, the debtor, could have paid off the loan or what he's owed, and therefore we don't view it as if the property was owned by the lender until it actually there's a default on the loan and he actually gets the property. That was machlokes Abaye and Rav. Now the Gemara continues that discussion and asks, did Rava really say such a thing? Again, that mikanu labo, that he only gets this property, it's considered a transaction from here on, and not retroactively like Abaye said, but it seems to be difficult from the following halacha. V'amar Rami Barachim, but Rami Chama said, Ruvain Shemachar Sadu L'Shimin Bachreis, if Ruvain sells a field to Shimon with responsibility. And what's that? What does that mean, responsibility? Because maybe Ruvain, the seller, when he takes a loan from somebody else, let's say Yaakov, he takes a loan from him. All his properties become indebted to that loan that are considered the chasim shabadim, properties, let's say like land. So now, when he's selling off to Shimon, Shimon's concerned, says, wait a second, I'm buying this property from you, but somebody, your creditor, might come and take it away from me. And now I'm going to be stuck without anything because I paid you money. Now the land's going to be taken away. So he's concerned that maybe the Baal Chayv of Reuben's going to take it from Shimon, because of a debt that Reuben owes to someone else. So he says, I'm taking responsibility. That's a crisis. That Reuben says to Shimon, I'm going to pay you the money. Now the case that we're talking about is that there was no other lands that were achrais. This is the only property here that Reuben has, and now he's selling off to Shimon, that if anyone that's a creditor of Reuben is going to come and say, you have no money, Reuben, I'm going to go take your land that was in your possession when I had given you the loan, then now I'm going to take it away from Shimon. So Reuben guarantees Shimon that if somebody does, one of his creditors comes and takes it from Shimon, he's going to pay him back. However, there's another twist to the case. It was a kaf in the love b'milva. That is, Shimon didn't actually have money at the time of the purchase that was designated how much money was to pay Reuven for that amount of money. Rather, he wrote a document to Reuven saying that I am putting my properties, let's say my other properties, I wanted to buy this land. Shimon wanted to buy this from Reuven. But he didn't, and Reuven took responsibility for that. But then Shimon didn't even actually have money to pay Reuven, so he wrote a contract writing a document that he's indebting his other properties, Shimon's other properties, to Reuven, that if he defaults on the payment, that Reuven could collect from his other properties for that sale. Now, with those two conditions understood, umeis Reuven. Now, Reuven, the seller, dies. V'asa b'alchev de Reuven. And now the creditor of Reuven actually comes, this materializes. V'tarv le Shimon, and he goes and he grabs away from Shimon. As we explained, he's allowed to because anything when this time of the loan of Yaakov to Reuven was any property that was in Reuven's possession becomes indebted to him. And one of those is what was sold off to Shimon. He can go ahead and take it off from Shimon. Now, the case is talking about that Shimon did not ever really even pay Reuven yet for the amount that it was agreed upon when he made the sale. He didn't pay that to Reuven or to the orphans of Reuven. Now, v'asa Shimon ufaisin. Now, Shimon comes and he appeases the creditor of Reuven, bezuzei, with that money. In other words, the money that he, however much the money, the worth of the land is, which is what the creditor of Reuven is coming to collect from, let's say it was worth $100 and the creditor of Reuven is owed $100. He's coming to Shimon, who the field's worth $100, taking it away. He says, look, I owe Reuven anyway, which the Hotesa explains, and that's the chiddush over here in this case, although you would think to say that he could tell the orphan, saying, look, your father owns this $100 to this creditor. and I owe that to you. So I'm just paying off my debt to you by paying the creditor. In spite of that, the Gemara says the following halacha for Rami Bar Chama. Dinahu, the halacha is that although their father was accepted responsibility regarding this sale to Shimon, however, the Asu b'nei Reuven v'amr le Shimon, however, the sons of Reuven, the orphans, could come and tell Shimon, what you did didn't do anything for us, and you still owe us the money that you owe us for the field. And that is, Anan mitaltele shavik avlun gabach. Our father left you what's called metatlin, things that are movable property, not karka, no land. And that is because you should not have paid you what you, the only thing you owe us is money. And you should not have given that to the Baal Chayv of our father, the creditor. And also not to hold on to it because of the sale that you want to have for responsibility, because umitatli diyasmi le Baal Chayv le mishtabdi. Things that are metatlin, that are movable property, which in this case is actually the milva, the loan that you owe us, because again, you never paid for the land that our father sold you. You took it as a loan that you owe for that property that you're buying. Now, that is not mishubah, that does not become indebted to any creditors. And that is, it's only by case of karka, by land, where those types of things, of even of orphans, become indebted to the creditors. And they could take that even after the father dies, because that became a shubid when the father was still alive. There was a shibud. There was a, as we said, whenever there's a loan, all things like karka, things that are not movable, they become indebted to the loan. But regarding money, which is not considered be'en, it's not considered here, there was never a chalois of shibud. There was never anything indebted when the father was still alive. And if it is still around the money, so then there is no loan. And it's like as it's in the real money owner's domain, and that's the orphans, and they never took a loan from this person. So therefore, and essentially, what they're telling this person is, even now, you can't come to us and collect because of responsibility, because we don't have any land to go ahead and pay you. So therefore, what you did was a loss for you. Why are you going ahead and paying this creditor? We don't have any land. You have the one piece of land from our father. Therefore, we don't owe this creditor anything because he cannot collect from us. He would only be able to collect for us if we had land. Now, this that you paid him, what was the purpose of that? Although you're paying for our father and you're helping us, quote unquote, but you didn't really help us because we didn't have anything that we owed. And the only thing that you have is a metatlin of us, because you have, yes, something that you owe us, which is ours, which he could collect from, but he can't collect from us. Because what do you owe us? A loan. You own the land because you actually bought it, although you owe us the sale price. And therefore, why are you going in and paying him? You still owe us money, and you can't come to collect from us any land because we don't have any land. That's the halacha of Rav Bar Chama. However, Amar Rava, Rava said, Ipikeach Shimon, if Shimon is clever, so then he could make the following claim. He could tell the orphans, look, you're right. What I did, I messed up. I paid him money that I thought I would be able to help because you anyways owe the money, and I owe it to you. So therefore, I paid it to him. But you're telling me that you didn't really owe it to him because all would be responsible for your father's creditors if there was karka, and you didn't have karka. And I owe you money, so that meaning that money, what's by me, is yours. But again, that's just money, and money is considered metatlin. It's movable. It's not considered things like karka. So I still owe you the money, and I owe it to you, and I'm not going to be able to collect anything from you because of the responsibility, because you don't have karka to collect from. However, I want to tell you something. I actually don't have money to pay up the loan that I owe you, which was from the original sale. The only thing I have is a piece of land, which is that land that I had bought from your father. Now, I'm going to give you that for my responsibility, what I owe you. So magviluhu ara, so he makes them collect the land that he has as collection for the loan of the original sale of his father's field. V'hadur gavala minayu, and then he can go ahead and collect from them. Again, because of the responsibility that their father had taken for the sale to him, that now they're collecting land, it comes out retroactively, it's revealed that what he had in his possession from them was not money, rather it was land. And since it was land, the Amar Rav Nachman, like Rav Nachman says, Yisayimim shegobu karka b'cheves avim, orphans, they collect land from a debt that their father had from someone else. And halach is Baal Chayv, a different creditor of their father, Chayzer B'Goyvah Yisman, could go ahead and collect from them. That's the halacha of Rav Nachman, and therefore Rava said, although, as Rambam said, he's really stuck, and not only did he give the money to the creditor of their father, but he still owes it to them, and he would have nothing to collect from them for the responsibility of now that he has to pay them up, because they have no land, there's a way out, he said. Give them the land, and as Rav Nachman said, oh, if they're collecting, which is he owes them from the debt to their father, and the orphans that collect from the debt to their father is considered something that now a different creditor of their father could go ahead and collect from that debt of their father. But one thing we do see is that if they're taking land because of the debt of their father has by someone else to collect, obviously it's retroactively from the time that the money was given by their father to that person, which is owed to him, and now that they're getting the land, must be retroactively. And that is as the Gemara concludes the question on Rabbah. If you say that retroactively it's revealed that this land was acquired by their father from the time that the debt had been created, then we can understand this halacha that Rav is saying in the name of Rav Nachman, that a different creditor of their father could go ahead and collect from that land. Because the commander gobe mechaim davun dami, because it's as if they had acquired this land already when the father was alive, and therefore that is why another creditor could go ahead and collect, because whatever is owed by the father, the creditors could come and collect from, which is from non-movable property, which is karka, and that's owed to the creditors. Eli amrit, but if you say that whenever there's a collection of land from the debt, it's only going to be acquired mikanu la'abahu gaiva, it's only like as Rav had said, that when there's a default on the loan or the debt, that then when the property is being collected from, it's only the transaction that's happening now. So then the question is, Amai, why is it that we say that this could be collected, that it can go ahead and collect from them? What is it compared to? It's compared to like as if the orphans themselves just went ahead, and with this money that's owed to them, they went ahead and acquired land. Because again, it's happening now. It's not happening retroactively when the father is still alive. And therefore, ve'ilu koni yasmin nichsi, if the orphans go ahead and acquire possessions, they're involved in real estate, they're buying up things, miko mishtabdi lebalchayv, would that be indebted to the creditor of their father? Of course not. And therefore, it's difficult according to Rava. What does it help this Eitzah that Rava is saying in the name of Rav Nachman, that he goes in and gives them back land? And therefore, oh, you have land. Now I can go ahead and collect from that because it's your father owes me land because of his responsibility of the sale. But what does that help? What does him giving back to the orphans, which is them acquiring now, which is them, have to do with a debt that's owed by their father? Things that they acquire is not like what Rav Nachman said. It's only regarding things that their father had the debt. And then you'd be able to collect from the land. And therefore, it's like Rava, Mekan Laba, this halacha is difficult. And that the Gemara responds. Shani Hasam, no, that halacha of Ramacham is different. And it's not going to be a question on Rava's opinion of Mekan Laba. The Amar Luhu that he tells them, Ki heichid mishtabadnu li lavuchin, just like I was indebted to your father, again, because of the loan that was taken out by the sale, mishtabad nami labal chayv davuchin, I am also indebted to the creditor of your father, Kidrat Midrab Nosan, which is from the Alokha Rab Nosan, as the Gemara will momentarily explain. And that is, and truthfully, Rava could tell you that the acquisition of the properties that are collected is Mikan Laba. It's really when there's a default on a loan or any debt that it only happens from here on. And this that Rav Nachman had said that generally, that a creditor could go back and collect from that land that's collected now, which was a question according to Rava, why is that? It's not going retroactively as if it was in the father's property. And therefore, if it's the same that are purchasing it, why could they go ahead and collect from it? That's because for a different reason. Because the creditor could tell the orphans, from whose authority, power of authority, are you coming and collecting this land, which specifically in our case would be, let's say, the land of Shimon, which is what he's saying, that there was a zakfal of milva, that he's, now that Rava is giving that idea, give them land, and then you'll be able to go ahead and collect from that. This land that you're collecting from, from whose authority, why are you collecting this land? Because of the shibud of your father. Again, that your father, I owed your father this loan that he had given me when I was, quote, buying the field from him. So that's why I'm giving it to you, because I owe it to your father. Now, just like it's owed to your father, this land of the loan, again, which was taken from your father because I didn't pay up the money when I bought it at that time, because of that same reason, it's indebted to me, myself, that same land. Because, although it sounds interesting, I was your father's lender because your father owed me for the loan that I took from him because the sale was done by Achrayus. And which means the responsibility that if it's taken away from me, that he's going to owe me. And therefore, essentially, I lent him the money when I paid up his creditor when they took the field away from me. And therefore, anyone that owes him money is indebted to me first, based on Rav Nosson's halacha, like we're going to say in a moment. And therefore, my shibud predicated even regarding the loan that I took, which was in his domain. And that is essentially, this is what Shimon's telling the sons of Reuben, the orphans. He's saying like this. He's saying, just like my property was, I agree, is indebted to your father because of the debt, which again was zakful of the milva, because I owed him the money of the sale that I never paid him. But that same money was indebted to me because of your father, what he owed me. Because essentially, he was a borrower by me because of the responsibility of the sale, which is based on Reb Nosson's halacha, as we're going to see, that one can own the other one, ends up owing the other one. And that what he's saying is essentially, what does it make a difference if it's me or someone else? It doesn't make a difference if I'm on the bottom, and then there's the father, then there's you. It's like three different people, but it's really the same person, because although he owes the father, but the father owes him, and when he pays it off, he's the creditor, so he's his own creditor through this chain. And therefore, since, although, as which was the question, it wasn't acquired by the father when he was still alive, but my shibud, he's saying, was already by myself, already from beforehand. And therefore, as the Gemara says, that's based on Reb Nosson's halacha, that he could go ahead and collect that now. The time like Linda Bryson. Reb Nosson says, "Minayin l'noisha b'chaveri money." How do we know that somebody that's a creditor by his friend who owes him a money? Now, v'chaveri b'chaveri. Now, the one that owes him money is a creditor by somebody else that owes him a money too. Shemitzin mizeh b'noisin l'zeh. How do we know that then he can go straight to that person who owes the one that owes him the same amount of money? So let's say there's Reuben who lends Shimon a money. Shimon lent Levi a money. Now, Reuben could go ahead straight to Levi and collect that money that's owed to Shimon, who owes him the money. How do we know that? Tamil Limit says the pasuk in Bamidbar, "V'nosan la'asher ashamloi," that he should give it to the one that he owes to. It doesn't say in the pasuk to the one that's his creditor. Rather, la'asher ashamloi, as the Gemara in Bava Kama explains, that Hashem is a reference to Karen, to the principle of money that's owed, and therefore Rav's opinion is resolved. Because essentially what Rav is saying is, yes, it's only Mikan Labba that the father actually considers as is acquired by him. But we don't really need the father. Because already back then, when this first thing happened, which were these two criteria, as we had explained the case beforehand, which is that the father went, I take responsibility for the sale, he right away became I was his creditor then. Which is that if I'm going to pay it back, which is the person that's collecting the field, I'm giving that, then your father owes me money. So right then he became my debtor, and I was his creditor. And therefore, then right after, when I went ahead although the sale happened, I didn't pay him the money, so it was a loan on me that I owe him money. So I owe him, but he owes me. So essentially, it's like Reb Nosson's halacha, where then I could go ahead and collect for myself. And therefore, he's saying, I'm going to give you back the land and take it back. Because essentially, then you become my creditor. You're my creditor, but you're my debtor too. And therefore, I go ahead and could give you the land and take it right back. And therefore, it's not difficult according to Rav. It has nothing to do because now that it's going to be retroactively as if what they're taking now is that their father had, and therefore I can go ahead and collect it. No, it's based on a different principle, and this under Reb Nosson's halacha, because this person is both the debtor and the creditor, and therefore essentially he's his own creditor, and that's why he can go ahead and collect from himself. Now the Gemara continues to ask on Rava, which is what the relationship, why this was brought in from our Mishnah on the previous daf. Now we learned in our Mishnah. A non-Jew that lends a Jew money before Pesach, and the collateral is the Jew's chametz. Now after Pesach, that chametz is going to be mutabahanon. The Gemara assumes now that it's not that the Jew gave the chametz to the non-Jew. Rather, he made it indebted like all other lenders, that if I don't give you money on until that day, you could come to my house and collect the chametz. I have all this produce, I have all this chametz, you can go ahead and collect it. So now, the Gemara asks as follows. If you say like a baya, that when there's money that's when there's properties that's collateral, that the transaction happens retroactively when there's a default on the loan. Therefore, so it makes a lot of sense why this chametz is going to be mutar b'hanah for the Yisrael. Because we view it retroactively as if this chametz was really already in the domain of the non-Jew because of the default on the loan. And since it was in the Rishos of the Nachri, there's no problem of chametz shavu l'va Pesach and it's mutar b'hanah. But if you say, like Rava, that it's only from here on when the default happens, which is after Pesach, why is the Chametz Mutbah? It was in all along Pesach, it was in the Jews' domain, and therefore it's Chametz Shavu Pesach of Yisrael, and should be also Bahano. And that the Gemara answers, what we're talking about over here in our mission is Kishe Hirhina Etzlai, that when it was kept throughout Pesach, in the house of the non-Jews placed already. And that's where it was kept as collateral. And therefore, it was not considered as if it was the Jews' chametz. It was considered the non-Jews' chametz, which the Gemara assumes now, the reason being, is because we view this collateral as it has as a halachic status as a mashkin, a security. And that is a bal chayv, a creditor, acquires the mashkin. It's considered his property, his ownership on it. And therefore, that answers the question why, although it's mikan halabah generally, but here it's different because since the Jew already placed it in the lender's property, which is the non-Jew from before Pesach, and throughout Pesach was in his property, so though he didn't get it, but since it was a mashkin is considered as if you have rights on it, and that's why it's not going to be aser after Pesach. And that the Gemara wants to say, limikatanoi, if that's what they're arguing about, so let's say that the machlekes Abaye and Rava should be a machlekes tanoi. We learned in the Brayse as follows. Yisrael shehilvul anachri achametzai. Similar type of halacha, that a Jew that lends a non-Jew regarding his chametz before Pesach, so l'achar Pesach eino over, after Pesach, the Jew will not be over if he has anah from this chametz that was the non-Jew's chametz, but it was taken as collateral for the Jew. It won't be over it. Mishum Reb Meir, Amr, the name Reb Meir, they said that over, that he will be over. It will be a problem. So the Gemara says, my love. Doesn't make sense to say that it's not that the chametz was kept by the lender's rishos. Rather, what they're arguing is as follows. The Marsav, the Reb Meir held like Abaya, that l'mafreyu gaiva, that when is it that the acquisition happens? It's retroactively. And therefore, in whose domain was it? It was in the Malva's domain, and which was the Jew. He was the lender, and therefore he's going to be over if he has enough after Pesach, because although it was really the Nachri's chametz, but since it works retroactively and he defaulted, and now you get it, it was considered in your property, and therefore you're over. Marsav, whereas the Tanakama held like Rava, the Mekan Labahu Gaiva, that no, you only get the chametz from here on, and therefore since it's only now after Pesach that he gets it, it was throughout Pesach, it was not in his domain, it was in the Nachri, the borrower's rishos, and therefore he's not going to be over if he has enough from it after Pesach. To which the Gemara says, but Tisbra, does it really make sense to say that this machlokes between Reb Meir and the Tanakhama is really the same machlokes in the Abaye and Rava that you're arguing regarding when is it? Is it Mikan Alaba or is it Lamafre that the person acquires it? And again, that will decide whose domain it was in during the time of Pesach. Was it by the lender because it works retroactively, or is it by the borrower because it's only Mikan Alaba? But Amos Seifa, look at the end of the Brisa. The end of the Brisa says the reverse case. But if a non-Jew lends the Jew money with collateral of the Jew's chametz, so then the halach is l'achar Pesach divri hakoil over. So after Pesach, everyone agrees if you're going to have an offerment, you're going to be over on the Isra of chametz avalav Pesach. But then the question is, if you say that the reason of the machlekes of Abaye of Remei and Rav of the Tanakama was the same machlekes of Abaye and Rava, which is, do we say it's l'haba or is l'mafreya? Then we should have reversed their machlekesin, but not to equalize their machlekes and say that here everyone's going to agree that you're over, as the Gemara explains. It should have said, Lamanda mahasam eina over, according to the one that says in the first case that you're not over, hachar over, here you will be over. Lamanda mahasam over, and there, regarding the first case where you said that you will be over, and that is because you see that retroactively is when the acquisition is, and therefore it was in the lender, the Jew's property in the first case. So then hach, in the second case, it should have said that eina over, that you're not going to be over, because during the time of the loan, it was in the property already of the malva of the lender who was the non-Jew. And therefore, it should be the reverse. And not that everyone's going to agree that you're over. Rather, according to that mandalama, that here you're not going to be over. So how can we say that this machlekes of Abaye and Rava is a machlekes tanoim of Remei and Tanakama? Therefore, the Gemara continues on Beis and says, you're right. Alohach ma'eskinan, here what we're talking about, both the Reisha and the Seva, this Braisa, is not in the machlekes of Abaye and Rava. Rather, kugun shehirhinu etzloi. We're talking about that this collateral was deposited by the malva, by the lender. And that is because it were it not to be deposited, everyone would agree, like Rava, that it's only Mikan Labo, it only starts from here on, it's not a retroactive transaction. But here what we're talking about is that it was actually deposited by the lender during that whole interim period, which was through Pesach. And they argue regarding the halacha of Rabbi Yitzchak. Then Rabbi Yitzchak, says, from where do we know that a creditor actually acquires this security? And that is throughout the whole entire time period of the loan, the security that the lender has is actually acquired by him. And therefore, if let's say there would be a, what's called an oinus, something that would be not any negligence or something really that would be that it would not have been able to be prevented, the lender would be liable for that oinus because he doesn't have halachic status as a shomer, which is that he's just watching it, and who is exempt from Einzin. Rather, it's totally in his domain, and therefore it's all dependent on his shmir, on his watching, because it's as if he actually owns it. And if you lose it, you lose it. It's not that it was someone else's that you were just watching. So where do we know that halacha from? Shnem, like it says, a pasuk in Devarim, which talks about returning that security, says in the pasuk, ulecha tietzdak, and to you will be considered as a righteous act. And there the pasuk says that you should return that when the sun comes, and he'll be able to sleep in his garment, and he'll bless you, and to you will be this righteousness in front of Hashem, your God. Now, the Rebbe Yitzchok says, im eina kayna mashkin, if the lender doesn't actually acquire the security, then tzedakah minayin, why would it be considered an act of righteousness? In other words, if you say that he's acquiring the mashkin, so there's righteousness that this, that the borrower is going to be able to sleep in this garment, which is lending it to him, because in essence, it's really owned by the lender during this time period. And therefore, it's going to be considered tzedakah. However, in a kind of mashkin, but if he doesn't acquire the mashkin, it's tzedakah minayin. What type of righteousness is it? The borrower who you're giving back his security is sleeping in his own garment. You didn't own it. So what would be the chiddush and why would it be considered tzedakah? You're just giving back what's rightfully that person's. Mikan lebal chayiv shekayin mashkin. Rabbi Yitzchak says, from here you see the halacha, that it's actually that it's the lender that actually acquires it. It's considered as if he's the owner, and that's why it's righteousness by giving back the security for the person to use it at the off times to be able to sleep in it or use it in those off times because and it's righteousness because it's really yours. So now the Gemara explains what the machlokes or man Tanakama was regarding this halacha. That is Tanakama Savar, they both agree to Rabbi Yitzchak's halacha. Again, that there is an acquisition of the security. However, Tanakama holds, Hanemili Yisrael mi Yisrael. When is it? It's when one Jew is taking the security from another Jew. Hu dekarina be ulachot tzedakah. That's where we could apply the pasuk. It says, and for you, which means for the Jewish people, it'll be considered an act of righteousness. Av Yisrael menachri lekani. But a Jew from a non-Jew that owes him money does not acquire the security. And therefore, he's not going to be over on it when he lends to the non-Jew and he keeps it in his and the non-Jew actually keeps the chametz in his property over Pesach, because as we had said on the previous daf on Chavtes Amid Aleph, that you're allowed to see the chametz of a non-Jew in your property over Pesach. And therefore, it's not going to be a problem when he's lending the money to the non-Jew and the non-Jew is even keeping it in his house, because he doesn't acquire the security from a non-Jew, it's only from a Jew. If from one Jew to another Jew he's going to be acquiring the other Jew's property, it doesn't make sense to say for sure if it's a non-Jew that he's acquiring the security. And therefore he says that the person is going to be over when he has, if he's going to have anov from the chametz of the nachri, the borrower, after Pesach, because it was considered in his domain throughout Pesach, and therefore it's the chametz of Yisrael sha'avar alav ha-Pesach, there will be also b'hanov. However, the end of the braisa that says that the non-Jew that lends the Jew and the Jew's chametz is collateral to the non-Jew, that achar Pesach that after Pesach everyone agrees, both the Rameh and the Rabban and the Tanakama, that the Jew will be over if he has enough from the chametz, because hasam vadi nachim Yisrael alchem. Everybody agrees that for sure the non-Jew does not acquire the security as a kinyan from the Jew, and therefore throughout Pesach it was considered the chametz of Yisrael. And therefore, that's what the Gemara says, is the Machlokes Rav Meir and the Tanakama, nothing to do with the Machlokes Abayin Rava, because everyone agrees, like Rava, that it's only Mikan Haba, because or else it was totally in Abayin Rava, how would you understand the Sefer? It should be the reverse, not that everyone agrees that you would be Eifer. Rather, it's the Machlokes in the Halacha of Rabbi Yitzchok, how do we view a Yisrael that's a creditor by a Nachri? Do we say that's now staying in his domain here in Eretzloy, that he takes as a mashkin, as security, do we view that as a kinyan or not? That is a machlekes Rav Meir and Rabban. Whereas again, the Sefer is talking about that the Nachri is the creditor by the Jew, even if the Jew keeps the chametz by the non-Jew, the non-Jew does not actually acquire it, and therefore, according to everybody, you're going to be over if you have a Noah Achar Pesach. Now the Gemara asks, now we learned in our Mishnah, Nachri Shehel B'Yisrael Al Chametzai, if the non-Jew lends the Jew on the chametz of the Jew as collateral. So the halacha is achar Pesach mutar b'hanana. After Pesach, it's going to be mutar b'hanana. So now the Gemara develops the question. Nehid nami, that although we had asked on Rav previously, that he says that you're only going to be acquiring mikan halaba, and we asked, based on Rav, it should be considered the chametz of Yisrael, and should be asur b'hanana. But we answered that question, and we said, that was the question on the previous Amid, where we said that, oh, the reason why it's considered in the domain of the Nachri, because the Jew kept his chametz in the non-Jews, the lender, the non-Jews' domain throughout Pesach, and that's why it's going to be mutter b'hanah, achar Pesach, because we view it as if it was by the non-Jew and that it was his. And therefore, that's how we tried answering Rava. But the Gemara asked, Ha'amrit, but now we just said over here, just before, that according to everybody, Nachrim Yisrael, Loikani, the way we just explained this Machlekes in the Brayos of Rav Meir and the Tanna Kamma, was that everybody agrees that when it's the non-Jew who's the lender, he does not acquire the security, even if it's by him in the house. And therefore, how do we understand the contradiction from our Mishnah? Because although we resolved Rav already that saying, oh yeah, it's not difficult, although it's Mekan Laba, so therefore it should definitely be Aser because it was the Chametz of the Yisrael throughout Pesach, although it was owed to the lender. But we said, oh, it's different because there he kept it in his house or keep it in his house. So we do view it as if, although generally we say Mekan Laba, that it was already the Nachris. But the difficulty is, you said that's not true. You said by security, even if it's by the, you just said now, everybody, even Remeya and the Tanna Kamma, that even if it's by the non-Jew's house, and there's a security, he does not acquire it, and therefore it should have been considered Chametz Shavu'ot Pesach, Abi Yisrael, and should be Aser. To which the Gemara answers, Loi Kash, it's not difficult. Because the case of the Mishnah was the Amar Lei, that he tells him when he keeps it, as we said, it's talking about that he keeps it by his house. When he keeps it by his house, he tells him that if I don't give it to you until that day, it should be yours me'achshav, from now already. And therefore, a non-Jew that lends to the Jew, it's already viewed as if it's already in the domain of the non-Jew. And that's again why our Mishnah said it's going to be mutar b'hanah. Whereas the Yisrael that lends to the non-Jew, we already view it in the Rishus of Yisrael, and that's why it's going to be Aser b'hanah. Ha, the case of the Braisa, the Lo Amalei Me'achshav. That is where he did not say it should be from now. Rather, it's going to be like other mashkoinis, like other securities that he gives him, like how like Rava says, and he set him a certain set time that he says, if I don't pay you by that time, then you could collect the debt from this security. And he estimates that amount of money that he owes him in that security, and therefore, by a non-Jew that lends a Jew, everybody agrees that even if he doesn't pay it, it's going to be forbidden for the Yisrael to have anah from it, because throughout the days of Pesach, we said, it was considered the Jews, because mikan alaba is when the non-Jew collects the security. And if you're going to say, but wait, he kept it in his house throughout Pesach, which is how we had answered for Rava from our Mishnah, which based on Rabbi Yitzchak's principle should be considered that the security is considered that it was acquired by the non-Jew already. So why is it Aser? But that's what we said, that a non-Jew from a Jew does not acquire. But a Jew that lends, that is where we had the machlikis in the Braisa that we had explained. The one who says it's Aser, he holds that since he keeps it by him, so then we view that it's the bachay, the creditor, that already acquired the security. And you can't say over here, mikan labahu gaiva, because here it's different based on Rabbi Yitzchak's principle of security. Whereas the one that says it's mutter, he holds that a Yisrael from a Nachri, there is no, quote, tzedakah, there's no righteousness, because he does not acquire the security. And that's why it will be mutter b'hanah. So again, basically, like we said, that the machlekes Reb Meir and the Tanna Kamma is not the machlekes in Bayin Rava. Rather, it's in the din of Reb Yitzchak regarding a Nachri. And again, as we had said, everyone agrees to Rava's principle that generally it is Mekan Labo, and that's why a Nachri is going to be Mekan Labo. And he does not have the halacha of Reb Yitzchak. The machlekes of Reb Meir and the Tanna Kamma was based on the principle when the Nachri is a borrower by the Yisrael. Whereas when the Yisrael is a borrower of the Nachri, again, everyone's going to agree that it's going to be only Mekan Laba, and that's why it's going to be Chametz Shavu'ot Pesach, going to be Aser. Whereas our Mishnah was as that he said, Me'achshav. There, it will be considered Mutar B'hanah, because then it is considered retroactively that it was in the Rishus of the Nachri. To which the Gemara now asks, U'minat Temra, where do we know this concept that even when it was kept by that other individual, by the lender, the Shanile, that we're going to make this difference that the Gemara just answered, Bein Hechadam Me'achshav, from where he says that it should be from now, in other words, from when this is actually happening, not later when the default is going to happen. Ubein Hechadam Me'achshav, and towards where he does not say it should be from now, regarding the Kinyan of a non-Jew. Again, regarding the Jew, we said that it's going to be retroactively because there is it is considered in the Rishus of the Meicher, of the Leiva, because and based on Rabbi Yitzchak's principle that you're kind of the mashke. But by the Nachri said he does not have the halacha. But the difference we wanted to say now is whether he says me'akshe benat. How do we know that? So the Gemara says the time like in the Brisa, Nachri shehirin pas purni etzli Yisrael, a non-Jew that places the collateral, the security of pas purni by the Jewish lender that he owes money to. And the Rashi explains pas purni is a large bread that was baked in a very large oven. Like he says, like in the ovens in the times of Rashi, because generally the ovens in the times of the Gemara were very small and they were movable. And their opening was on the top, and they would place the bread on the walls, and that's how they would bake, which were you only able to bake small little breads. And Rashi says, the Gemara was just picking a case which is something that's applicable, because since these breads of Purni were chashiv because they were big, so that's something that a person would use as a mashkin, as security. So it doesn't just mean this pas Purni, but the Brisa was saying this because it's something that would be used as security. So if the non-Jew goes and takes this chametz, this pas purni, and puts it by the Jewish lender, the halacha is eina oiver, that he's not oiver on that chametz throughout Pesach, because this opinion is, this Tana holds, like the Tana Kama of Remeir, that a Yisrael from a non-Jew does not acquire the mashkin. So again, although the mashkin is by the Jewish lender, he's not considered as if he acquired it, it's only Yisrael from a Yisrael, so he's not going to be oiver. Now the Brisa continues and says, "V'im amar lo higaticha." If he says, "Here it is, it's yours," then over he's going to be over on the chametz that's him that's now by the land, by the Jewish lender throughout Pesach. To which the Gemara asks, "Maishna reisha, maishna seifa? What is the difference between the reisha and the seifa?" In other words, if higaticha, if the phrase of saying "here, it's yours" does not mean me'achshav, in other words, from now, so then what does it help? Even without saying higaticha, that it's yours, when the time comes and doesn't pay, he defaults on it, he's going to collect it from the loan. So the Gemara says, rather what you can infer is that when the non-Jew is saying, when he's giving the pas purni to the Jewish lender, before Pesach, he's saying higaticha, here it is, it's yours, he's telling him, from now it's going to be. That if I don't pay you by that day, it's going to be yours from now. That's why he's over for Chametz Shavuot of Pesach, that although it's not even that time yet, where he could still pay him up money, but maybe the time is going to come, and the non-Jew is not going to pay up the money, so it's going to come out retroactively that the Jewish person was over on Bal Yerah, Bal Yematzah, because it was considered in his domain, because the person that the non-Jew had said, Me'achshav. So obviously you can infer that Shani Hecha Domele Me'achshav, Lehecha Dolei Omele Me'achshav Shemamina. Obviously you could show that there is this differentiation if you say me'achshav or not, because it's exactly what the Brice is saying. That generally the Jewish person is not over, because this opinion is like the Tanakh of Meir that they hold, that he does not acquire the security from the non-Jew. So it's not my chametz, it's the non-Jew's chametz in my property, although he's putting the security by me. But we said higaticha, which obviously must mean me'achshav, he is going to be over, obviously regarding the acquisitions of a non-Jew, there is going to be a difference between me'achshav and when he does not say me'achshav. And again, truthfully, the difference that's the chiddush between the Brice and the Mishnah was regarding if he says me'achshav, which was the case of the Mishnah, whereas the Brisa did not say me'achshav, and therefore it's only mikan labo. So the Gemara continues with a Brisa Tana Rabbanu, which is related to the topic that we're talking about whose chametz is it? Chanush al Yisrael. If there's a store that's a Jewish store, umalai shal Yisrael, and the produce is also the wine and the bread that's sold over there is also the Jewish, is also owned by a Jew. However, upayli nachrim nichnasim shem, but the workers are non-Jewish that continuously come in and out throughout Pesach. Chametz shenimtzer shem achar Pesach asav hana, the chametz that's found in the store after Pesach is forbidden for hana. Vein tzarach lemachilin, you don't have to say that definitely you're not going to be able to eat that chametz after Pesach. And the reason is because we don't say that it probably fell from the workers. Rather, we say that it's probably from the produce that's there in the store, and that it was the Jewish chametz, and therefore the chametz achar Pesach is going to be asr. And the same thing is in reverse. If it's a non-Jewish store, umalai shel nachri, and the stuff that's sold inside are owned by the non-Jews. And there's Jewish people that walk in and out. They're the workers. They're coming and going throughout Pesach. Chametz that's found there after Pesach is going to be permitted to eat. You don't have to say that definitely is going to be mutabana. Again, it's because we assume that it's coming from the store, which is why they're sold there, and not from the workers that come in and out throughout Pesach. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again talking about the theme of the previous Mishnah, is about beer chametz, about eliminating chametz before Pesach. So the Mishnah says, chametz shenafla alav ma'pailas, chametz that a pile of rubble fell on top of it. Harehu k'mavor, it's like eliminated. In other words, you have to get rid of the chametz. Now the pile of rubble is on it. It's not here in this world, just like if you flushed it down something or threw it into the ocean. Here it's covered by the pile. It's like you eliminated it. P'shem gamli alaymer, he says, It has to be at least that a dog cannot be able to search after it. It has to be that much buried under the rubble that a dog wouldn't be able to go ahead and dig after it. So the Gemara qualifies the halachic qualification of our Mishnah of that it's considered elimination. That's enough for Bia Chametz. However, you have to nullify the Chametz in your heart. And that is because maybe on Pesach, it will become uncovered. Maybe winds will come in or whatever. Some animals will come in uncovered on Pesach, and you can be Oivram Bal Yerah Bal Matzah because here's back your chametz again. Therefore, the actual din de reis is bittul. That's enough. So therefore, that's what a person has to do. But regarding the halacha of doing the beer chametz, of eliminating it in practicality, in technical way, that's enough that it's covered with the pile of rubble. So Tanu, we learned the braisa in the qualification of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel's halacha. That kama chafishes hakelav, how much is the digging of the dog that we have to be concerned about, that's how deeply has to be buried, that it should be considered eliminated? The price is shalosha tefachim, three tefachim. So related to this, the Gemara asked the following question. Amalei Rav Acha b'rid Rav Yosef l'Rav Ashi. Hadam Shmuel, this Shmuel had said halacha, that kisafim, regarding money that's deposited by a person, did ein lehem shmir el bekarka, the only way it's considered properly protected, is if it's buried in the ground. That is, if the person that's the watching it does not protect it by putting it into the ground and it gets lost, it's considered an act of negligence and he's liable because of Shemachin, even the person that's watching for free, oh, you need to go somewhere, oh, you need to, I'm not getting paid for it, he's liable for Peshia, for negligence. This would be considered negligence if you don't bury it because that's really the only way you can protect money. On that halacha, he asked, "Mi be'inun shleisha tefachim alai." Would that also require to be buried under the ground, three tefachim, or not? Just like we find over here by chametz, it's only considered buried if it's three tefachim. Do we say the same regarding halacha of a pekudin of money? So Amalei said, "No." Hacha mishum recha. Here regarding the halachas of chametz is because of the smell, that the dog smells the chametz and he's going to dig after it and find it. That's why it has to be be'inun shleisha tefachim, has to be three tefachim. Hasam regarding it by the deposit mishum ichsuye mi'enu. It only has to, because it has to be covered from vision of people that can see the money. And therefore, there it does not need three tefachim. How much does it need? Amarav from Bar Papa misicher, which is the place where he was from. Tefach. It only needs a tefach. It doesn't need three tefachim. Now the Gemara continues with the next mishnah. Again, talking about the halachas of chametz. Ha'eichel trumas chametz bePesach b'shegig. If someone consumes the truma that's chametz on Pesach, but he does it inadvertently, and that is, he did not know that it's truma, even if he was intentionally regarding the chametz. He saw it's a piece of bread and it's on Pesach. He says, you know what? I don't care that I'm eating chametz on Pesach, but he didn't realize that it was also truma. And that the Mishnah says, Mishalim Keren V'chemish. He has to pay the principal and the fifth, which is a penalty when someone consumes b'shegig truma produce, and that is as Rashi explains. Although essentially what he's consuming is not worth anything, because chametz on Pesach is aser b'hana, so why you have to pay the principal and the fifth? The reason is because someone that does shaygik, he does inadvertently a consumption of truma, which the pasuk says v'chamishisa yosef lav, that you have to then add the fifth v'nosin la'koyin es hakodesh, and you have to give the koyin the thing that's holy. So the Gemara darshins, it has to be something that's fit to become holy. What does that mean? It means that you can only pay the person, the kohen that you're giving now, the truma that was consumed, and the fifth, you're not allowed to give money. Rather, you have to give produce. And then that payment becomes truma itself, as the Gemara later on will explain. So therefore, essentially, you're not paying monetary value that you were mazik when you consume the truma. Rather, you're paying according to volume. And that's why it has nothing to do with monetary value. You're right, chametz and Pesach has no money, monetary value. It's asa b'hana. But you have to pay based on volume. And what you consumed is what you actually have to give back. And that becomes the truma. And then you increase the fifth, which also has the halachic status of truma. And therefore, it doesn't make a difference. You're still going to have to pay the principal and the fifth. However, the Mishnah says, b'mezid, if this person that consumed the truma, that's chametz on Pesach, which is, even if he didn't even realize what he's eating is chametz, he was a shaygi growing chametz, but he was intentionally, he knew this was truma, then the halach is going to be patur mitashlumin, he's going to be exempt from paying, and even umidmei eitzim, even from paying it as worth as firewood, even that is going to be exempt. And that is, would be, let's say if the truma would be temeya, ritually impure, where there the person cannot consume it, even the kayin, it only has monetary value like firewood, because you could use it to cook your dishes underneath it. And even so, even for that payment, you're not going to be liable if it was done by mezid. The reason is, because truma that's consumed intentionally, there is no penalty of the fifth. The whole payment is not for an atonement like it is when it's done b'shogeg, and therefore what you're paying does not become truma itself, because it's only regarding the fifth where it says shgog over there, that's when you're liable for the fifth. However, when it's done intentionally, it's like a regular theft, and you pay money, and therefore the way you assess the payment of the truma when it's done b'mezid is based on monetary value, not according to volume. Now, chametz and pesach has no monetary value because asa b'hanah, and it has no utility even as firewood, and therefore essentially you're not making the person, the kohen, lose anything. So therefore, it's going to be different than the case of shagig, where the shagig is according to volume, because that's exactly what it is. It's an atonement, and you're giving back truma, therefore it has nothing to do with monetary value, whereas by b'mezid, you're going to be exempt, because what were you mazik? Nothing, and you're like a regular thief, and you didn't steal anything, because it was also b'hanah anyway, and therefore, when it was done b'mezid, you're going to be exempt even from the me'etzim, even from firewood, again, because it was totally also b'hanah.